tonight, we want to continue with our discussion on identifying a local scriptural church. This morning, we laid the foundation of looking at the different distinction between the universal church and the local church. And then we began to look at some criteria that some in the world use to determine which church is the church they should attend. But tonight, we want to focus in on what the Book of God says should be the criteria that one should consider in looking for a scriptural church. We want to begin by we need to have an objective criteria. It is possible to eliminate some easily because they demonstrate allegiance to man and not to Christ. We can eliminate that right off. If the church is founded and born the principles of man, built by man, then it makes it very easy for us to know that that's not a scriptural church. However, others require a closer examination and scrutiny. You can't tell things by the name on the building. There used to be a day that you could go to a new city, or you might be going somewhere, and you might be visiting, or you might be on vacation, and you would go looking for a place to worship on Sunday, and you would look and see a church, and you could go in there, and you would find exactly what you used to and what you have attended all your life. But I'm telling you today, those days are over. You can't do that any longer, because that name on the building does not tell the whole story. We need to have a definitive description of the church of the New Testament in order to know when the local church is scriptural. Is there in the Bible a definitive description of what a local church should look like and how it is arranged, how it is organized, and how it is designed? And we must remember there are some things that are matters of judgment, some things that are personal judgment, and I'll try to point some of those out as we go along. Now, identifying my truck, now everybody who knows me knows I don't have trucks. Very interesting about that, because when I first moved to Kentucky, all of my children took a little wager, how long it would take me to get a truck. Well, I've been here 9 years, and I still haven't got a truck. But they say the CRV is getting pretty close, so. But anyway, you know, if you're in a parking lot and it's full of trucks, one of the biggest things that automakers do for us as we get older is give us these clickers that can turn on my lights to let me know what my vehicle is when I'm in a parking lot where there's a lot of vehicles and my memory's not as good as it used to be. And so identifying my truck, even though my truck may be one among many, if it is there, it can be identified by the information given. Maybe you got a 2002 Nissan Frontier. That's usually called a desert runner. Well, your truck is black. It has four doors. It has a black hardcover. It has chrome mirror bars. It has gray interior. There are two car seats in the back seat, which tell us they have children. And then the license plate is 282 SDP. Well, that really narrows it down, doesn't it? It's going to be easier to find you, even if there's 500 trucks in a parking lot. That's going to narrow it down for you to find yours because of all that detail. You see, that's a description. That is an identifying description of what your truck is. It's not one among many. It has to fit that description. And so when you find one that fits that description, that's your truck. You mark off all the identifying marks. The truck that you put your key in and get in, you know it's yours because that description only fits your truck. And your key only fits that truck. But when you have all those identifiers, it makes it easier to identify your truck even among many. Now, that illustration is given to show that the more identifiers that you have of what the local church should look like, according to the Bible, makes it easier for you to distinguish between those that are scriptural and those that are unscriptural. And so we're going to try to give you some identifying marks that will help you in identifying a scriptural local church. Now, you have to have an objective criteria. A scriptural local church can be identified because it follows a New Testament pattern. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8 for a moment. In Hebrews chapter 8, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is the Apostle Paul, and again, we don't know for sure, that's just giving me that bit of information from my study, I believe that's who wrote it. But in Hebrews chapter 8, he is referring back to the tabernacle. And he's referring to the time when Moses received the instructions to build the tabernacle. And notice in verse number 5, he says, "He served the copy and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you in the mountain.'" And so when he was up on Mount Sinai for those 40 days and 40 nights, he not only received the law, the second time he also received the pattern and the blueprint for the tabernacle. Now, if you read in Exodus 35 through 40, you will see the exact details of that pattern given in the scripture of what God wanted in the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle was dedicated, God took up residence in it symbolically when the cloud overshadowed the tabernacle at the time that it was dedicated. Why did God do that? Because they built it according to the pattern. Now, today, religions deny that there is any pattern given in the Bible, that there is no divine pattern, that everything is up to a subjective criteria, like we talked about this morning in our Bible class, that everything is subjective, it's not objective, and so you can build it the way you want it. But again, if you look in the Bible, we can show that God has always had a pattern. Didn't he not only have a pattern for the tabernacle? Did he have a pattern for the temple? Wasn't the temple built by a pattern? Didn't David give Solomon not only the materials for the temple, but did he not give him the pattern that God gave him in order to build the temple according to the pattern that was given by God? Yes, God has a pattern. And if you want to know if a church is scriptural, you need to find one that follows the divine patterns that are given in the Bible. Now, it demands knowledge of the pattern. What good does it do if there's a pattern if you don't know what the pattern is? You first have to know what the pattern is if you're going to use the pattern as a criteria for knowing a scriptural church. You've got to be familiar with the pattern. We must search what the scriptures say that we may know what the New Testament church looks like. What is it called? What did it teach? How is it organized? How does it worship? What does it practice? Those are things that we need to ask. And the Bible tells us the answer to all of those questions. It gives us the answer to all those questions so we can have an objective criteria in order to be able to identify the local church. Now, when we begin, it reflects a distinction of belief and practice. Does the name matter? Does it matter what it's called? Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. In verse 10, the church of Corinth, they had a lot of problems. And one of the problems that they had was that they were following men. They were not following God, they were following men. And in verse 10, following men and being common-minded and not following the scripture, there was division. It was causing division among the people of God. So he writes in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now let me ask you something. Can all these things prevent division? Could you put all of these people together and would that be unity? If we put them all together in one place, would that be unity? No, you know why? It's not just the name. We can see the names are different, but you know the names are different because their practices are different. Does the Methodist Church believe the same thing that the Presbyterian Church believes? No, Presbyterian Church is Calvinistic. They believe a lot of Calvin's teaching. The Methodist Church does not. They lean more to Roman Catholicism. And then you have the Baptist Church. They're more conservative. They're more conservative in their outview, in their views, than either of the other two. And then you have the Roman Catholic Church. They're completely different than all three. They have a hierarchy. They have a different organization. They have a different teaching. They have a different structure. And they have a different authority. Now, the Methodist, Presbyterian, and the Baptist, they all would tell you that they subscribe to the Bible, but they also have their creed books. All of them have their own creed book. The Methodist discipline, the Presbyterians have a creed book, the Baptists have the Hitchcock Bible manual, and then when you talk about Roman Catholic Church, you have catechism. And you have the Pope, who is the authority on earth. He's the vicar of Christ on earth. The other churches, they don't accept that. But the Roman Catholic Church does. The Apostolic Church, now they differ. You know, you could go into one and they would follow one pattern, and you might go into another and they would follow a different pattern. The Lutherans, they're named after Martin Luther, and they're more associated with Roman Catholicism. But if you read the history of Luther, you know what the last thing Luther asked him to do before he died? Before he died, you know what he said? Don't ever call yourself Lutheran. Call yourself Christian, because that's the name in the Bible. But what did they do? I was talking to a Lutheran one time, and I said, "Why are you Lutheran?" He goes, "Well, I'm just like you." I said, "No, you're not just like me. I'm a Christian." She said, "Well, I'm a Lutheran Christian." What is that? You know what I call that? That's a hyphenated Christian. Do you read about any Baptist Christians, Lutheran Christians, Presbyterian Christians? I don't read about any of that in the Bible. And then you have the Episcopalian, the Pentecostal, the Family Church. And you know what? Every once in a while I come upon a new one I hadn't heard before. Because I'm driving around and they, well, I never heard that name before. I don't know exactly what that means. But you know what? Names identify you with something. When you have a name that identifies you with a group and with a practice. Now again, that's not just true of them, that's true of us. The Church of Christ, sadly, is misidentified by many people. A few years ago, I had a preacher, we had a great disagreement that he was beginning a new church in a new city in Ohio. And one of the things that he was determined to do was not to put the name Church of Christ on the building. He didn't want it on the building. And if you went out to the website, he didn't really ever tell you that. And I asked him, "Okay, you want to explain to me why?" He said, "Well, the Church of Christ has a stigmatism. People have a false understanding about the church. And so it really drives people away." Wait a minute. Who paid for the church? I think the Lord did. He was blood. Are you ashamed to put his name on the building? He bought it. He paid for it. He's the foundation of it. He's the head of it. Who's that? What other name would you put on it? He has ownership. He made the design. He paid the price to build it. And he's the head of it, and his teaching is what we practice. What other name would you put on it? Am I not to put the name on the building because of what the world thinks about it? You know what's always amazed me about people about the Church of Christ? How much they know about us that's never been in a building with that name on it. Never attended one of our services, never talked to a fellow like me who's been preaching for over 35 years. No, they've never talked to me. They've never been in our services. They don't know what we practice, but they know we're not right. Well, you know what, Ben? But that's just not an honorable thing to do. And so those names identify people with practices and what they believe. What is it called? It matters what it's called. Let me ask you a question. If you were getting ready to move some furniture, and you were looking for a place to move your furniture, would you hire somebody that you looked in the Yellow Pages and there was a movie company called Clumsy Movers? Would you call them up? I don't think you'd call them up. I don't know, you know what? I think that'd be a bad thing for your business if you were going to be a movie and call yourself Clumsy Movers. You see, names identify you, so it matters, makes a difference what you call. It reflects the beliefs, schisms, and carnality. Doesn't it? Why do we have all these names? And you know, these are just main ones. I could have put a lot of, I don't have enough slides to put how many different churches there are. But all of them show that there is division. There is carnality. Go back to the scripture after verse 10, 7, verse 11. For it has been declared to me, brethren, concerning you, by the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this to each of you, I am Paul, I am Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Paul didn't save him. Cephas didn't save him. Apollos didn't save him. None of them paid for the church with their life. You see, they weren't crucified for them. Now again, names tell us something. It causes schism. It causes division. It's carnal-mindedness. Now let me ask you a question. In the community church today, and in the mega churches, they have people that attend those churches that belong in previous to attending there, belong to one of these denominations. Okay? So they're all together in one place in this mega church. Alright? That night at services, a man comes forward and wants to be identified with that church. He wants to be added to the church. Okay, which one of these practices are we going to use to add him to the church? Whose criteria are we going to use? Well, it depends on what they want. I don't know how many of you, I think many of you read the book, The Muscle and the Shovel. This fellow that's trying to search for the truth goes into, he works for a copy machine company. And all of his criteria is churches. And he was struggling with baptism. And so he had one of these denominations, and I won't tell you which one, it doesn't matter. He went in there, and he was fixing the copy machine and doing some work for him. And before he went, he said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure, ask. He says, what do you teach about baptism? He says, well, brother, we can dump you, we can dip you, we can pour water on you, we can dab you with the walls. Whatever you want to do, we can do it for you. You know, he said, in the book, he says, he walked out of there. He says, I knew one thing, I knew he didn't know. He says, I didn't know, I wasn't sure yet myself, but I know he didn't know. You see, but that's the attitude. That's the vision. That's the vision. If you come in, if somebody came to here and let me know what to do to be saved, would our answer ever change? No, it would never change. It would be the same. You know what? It would be the same thing that you would have heard when my grandfather was in a member of the Lord's church. Or his father. It reflects division, schism, and carnality. It reflects human standards of authority. Look in Matthew 21. You know, Jesus had to deal with this problem of authority. And you know what? Let's be honest. If we're really honest, what do all things come down to? All the differences that we have with other religions, what does it really all come down to? It comes down to authority. It comes down, where do we get our authority for what we practice? In Matthew 21, verse 25, Jesus was discussing this with the Pharisees and the Jews. And he says in verse 25, the baptism of John, Where was it from? From heaven or from man? And they reason among themselves and say, if you say from heaven, he will say to us, and why did you not believe him? But if you say from man, we fear the multitude, for all called John a prophet. So they answer him, we do not know. You know what that told Jesus? They were dishonest. They knew if they answered the question, they'd give away the answer. But you know what? Why is it? I've said this on the radio. I've said this on TV. I've said this in private discussions with men that I differ with. If you could show me anything we do that is wrong by this book, I will publicly recant on the radio, on the TV, and before the church, and we will change the practice. I have yet to have anybody ever take me up on it. And you know what they tell me? Oh, we don't have a crime, Brother Green. Oh, that's fine. What you do is fine. We don't have any issue with you. You ever wonder why they say that? You know why they say that? Because we can go to the Bible. We can go to the Bible and show them why we do it. Can they do that? No, they can't do that. They can't do that. That's why we differ. That's why we differ. We differ because we believe you must have Bible authority. You've got to have the thus saith the Lord. That's why we differ. That's why we differ from all of these churches of men. Because we believe it matters what you practice and why you practice it. You've got to have the standard authority. I'm telling you, all of those churches have a standard of authority. And all of them will claim it's the Bible. Every one of them will claim it's the Bible. But is that true? No, it's not true. Because if it was true, they wouldn't have that name, and they'd be doing the same thing we're doing, wouldn't they? If they all found the same book, they'd be doing the same thing, wouldn't they? You know what? If we all bought an item, and we had instructions, and we had the instructions, and we put that thing together with three different localities, and we had the same item, and we were given the same instruction, when you went and looked at all three, would they be the same? They'd be the same. They'd be put together the same, and they'd look the same. You know why? Because we all use the same set of instructions. If we were all using the Bible, we wouldn't have any of this. Wouldn't we? We don't have any of that. But we do because we're not. That's a simple part. If we were doing law by the Bible, then we'd all be doing the same thing. The fact that we're not proves that not all of us are using the Bible. That's just the way it is. Now, the scriptural designation of the church is not necessarily accurate. The church of God was at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:2. The church of Thessalonica in God, 1 Thessalonians 1:1. The churches of Galatia in 1 Corinthians 16:1. The scriptural designation of the church is not necessarily accurate. It doesn't have to be called the Harrisburg Church of Christ. It doesn't have to be called the Mercer County Church of Christ. It could be. But again, the scriptural designation of the church is not necessarily accurate. That doesn't mean that tells you location. That doesn't tell you everything you need to know because you know where it's at. Doesn't use a scriptural designation. Could we call this the Church of God? Yes, that's a scriptural name. You know why we don't? You know why many of us don't? Because we got to clarify what we mean by that. Could we call ourselves the church of Harrisburg in God? By being scriptural name? What about the churches of Galatia? The churches of Galatia, we could say the churches of Mercer County. In Boyle County. Yeah, that would be a scriptural title. But you'd have to do a lot of clarifying because that would give people the idea that we're all joined to one organization. You know, the Bible also uses the term church of the firstborn. Could you call that, would that be a scriptural name? Yes. Church of the Brethren, would that be a scriptural name? Yes. As long as it's in the scripture, it's a scriptural name. There are many congregations bearing the name of Christ or God naturally honoring them. And that's what I'm getting at. Because the name of the Church of Christ is on the building, does not mean they're all scriptural. It does not mean that. The Churches of Christ, salute you, Romans 16:60. The churches that are mentioned in Acts. That's a good place to start. I recommend you go there first before you go to a church of man. I would recommend you go to a church of Christ, but I suggest you do some investigating. You know, as a preacher, I get called, when I was in Vegas, I got called every week with people that wanted to ask me 20 questions about the church. Here's how the conversation would go. I'd say, "Hello, this is the Vegas Life Church of Christ. What can I do for you?" He goes, "Are you the preacher?" When they started out that way, I felt pretty good. But a lot of times they'd say, "Are you the pastor?" And I knew I was in for it. But when they'd say preacher, I said, "Yeah, I'm a local minister here. What can I do for you?" He said, "Do you mind if I ask you some questions?" I said, "No." He said, do you use instruments?" "No." "Do you support human institutions?" "No." "Do you have a bus?" "No." "Do you have a fellowship hall?" "No." "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, I'm sure." She says, "Well, that sounds just like what we have at home." I said, "What are you looking for?" "We're looking for a non-institutional scriptural church." I said, "Well, I think you found it." Then I get other calls. And I begin with pastor. And then they say, "What kind of programs do you have for young people?" "Bible classes." "That's it?" "Yeah, that's it." Says, "What kind of ministries do you have?" I said, "Like what?" "Well, do you have a ministry? Do you have a food pantry?" "No." "Do you support the Worldwide Churches of Christ?" "No." "Do you send money to an orphan's home?" "No." "Oh, you're an anti then." Said, "Yeah, we're anti against things that are not taught in the Bible." But you know what I got to do after a few years? I just went after the phone and said, "What are you looking for?" And I can tell you where it's at. Because I can tell you exactly where the church was. Now, I won't tell you it's right, but I'll tell you what you're looking for. But you know what? That doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me that people ask me that. Because what do people want to know? They want to know if you're a scriptural church. They want to ask that. They want to know that. You should never be ashamed to answer that. But that's a good place to start. Does it use a scriptural designation? If it's not the Church of Christ, then that's going to tell you that you need to do some more looking. Now, I don't know how many of you remember these things that put out Ron Theopolis. I love these things. I have a book of them. I probably ought to get some of them out. But this is a good one that was in the book on identifying the local church. First one says, what difference does it make what we call ourselves? There's nothing in the name. Episcopalian, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, we all follow Christ, just different directions. That sound familiar? You ever heard that? Hey, that's not the right name. If you follow Christ, aren't you members of this church? His church? But we are, what I mean is, oh, I understand. But then the last one, not the Church of Christ. We don't follow everything God does. So he said, well, then you're not Church of Christ. Nobody would put that on their name, would they? Nobody's going to do that. But if you didn't follow what the church believes, that'd be a correct name, wouldn't it? That'd be a correct name. But you see, that's the way the world thinks. It doesn't matter. I've had two ministers in this community coming that all we can get, we don't have to do on doctrine. Doctrine doesn't matter. Really? Where does the Bible say that? Where does it say that we don't have to teach the same thing? It says just the opposite of that. It says just the opposite of that. It does matter what you call. Does it use a scriptural designation? That's the first identifying characteristic. Does it use a scriptural designation? Identifying a scriptural local church, unscriptural churches do not use just the Bible. What do I mean they don't use just the Bible? If you were to ask me, what do you use for your authority? This. What else? Nothing else. This. But churches of men do not just use the Bible. They have confessionals. They have disciplines. They have rules of faith. They have party statements. The Lord's Church uses only the Bible as a guide in faith, teaching, word, worship, and organization. If it's not in the book, we don't practice it, we don't teach it, and we don't authorize it. Can all churches say that? No, they can't all say that. Now, they all claim that, but they can prove it. If you were that, that's why people don't disagree with us. That's why they're not going to come out and say you're wrong. What we're wrong about is that we don't accept what they do. That's what makes us wrong. How can they say, well, it's wrong to sin? How can they say that? They can't say that. Because that's what the Bible says. How can they say it's wrong to take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? How can they say that's wrong? Because we have a good example to do it. How could they say it's wrong to have fruit of the vine and unleavened bread on the Lord's table? They can't say that's wrong because that's what the Bible teaches. You see, the Bible in 2 Timothy 2, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. And verse 17 says it equips man for every good work. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 16, Peter would write, in verse 16, that if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And you know what Colossians 3:17, every one of you could quote that. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord and giving him thanks. What does it mean, doing it in the name of the Lord? What's that mean? That means by his authority. You have to have a thus saith the Lord. And if you don't have it, then you don't have his authority. And so if you're going to be a church, then you must have an authority. And in the Lord's church, the only authority that we prescribe to, the only authority we use, and the only authority that we will accept is God's word. We will not accept any book written by man. We will not accept the creed. We don't have any party. We don't have any party statement. We don't have any other affiliation. We only use the Bible. But you know what? You can go out on websites to denominations tonight. And they have a mission statement. And in that mission statement, they will use this phrase. And we believe that in all things the Bible is the pattern and the authority for all that we do in the church. And then I go and look at your calendar. And I see all the things you do. And that tells me that mission statement is false. Because they're not doing what they claim. Could somebody do that for us? If I say that we don't do anything unless it's founded in the Bible, that we must have a book, chapter, and verse, it must be a thus saith the Lord, am I afraid somebody coming in and pointing out somewhere doing that it's not in there? I'm not afraid of that. Are you afraid of that? I'm not. Let them ask. Let them check us out. We encourage people to do that. We encourage people to examine us. You have nothing to fear if you're following the book. Now, this is the last slide for tonight. I'll finish this next Sunday morning. I want you to look at this chart. I love this chart. It's so easy to understand. Now, Corn. We all know about corn living in Kentucky. Grows everywhere. Then you have an apple tree and you have acorn. Now, all of those trees and all those plants have a seed. And the seed is what determines what kind of crop is going to be grown. Now, let me go back for a moment. If you plant corn, what's going to be the harvest? You get a good corn, right? Why? Because the seed is corn, the crop's going to be corn, right? If we plant apple seeds like Johnny Appleseed did, what's going to come up? It's not going to come up oranges, tangerines, or pineapple. You're going to get apples. Why? Because apple seed bring apples. And if your acorns come from an acorn tree, you're not going to get something different. Acorns come from acorns. Now, you know what? Nobody denies that. Nobody denies that. Every seed, listen, produces after its own kind. Right? If you have fruit trees in your backyard, and you have the apple tree, you have a pear tree, and you have an apricot tree, do you have one behind it that has all of them on the same tree? No, if you did, you'd get rid of the other thing, wouldn't you? You ever see a tree like that? You never see a tree like that. And you know what? You never will. Because that doesn't happen. Because every seed produces after its own kind. Okay, keep what goes out through. Here's what it proves. I want you to look at this. It's simple. If you teach the Mennonite Confession of Faith, and you use that book, what do you get? You don't get a Christian, you get a Mennonite. Why? Because that's the seed. You plant the teaching of a Mennonite religion, you're going to get a Mennonite. If you plant the Methodist discipline, and if you ascribe to the Methodist discipline, and you follow his teaching, and you become obedient to it, what do you get? You get a Methodist. And if you have a Nazarene, and you follow the discipline manual, and you use the discipline manual as your standard of authority, what will you do? What will you get? You will get a Nazarene. If I use the Bible and I plant the seed of the Bible in the heart of an unbeliever and they want to obey the gospel, what will that make them? That will make them a Christian. It will not make them a Nazarene. It will not make them a Mennonite. It will not make them a Methodist. It won't make them a Mormon. If you wanted a Mormon, what would you have to do? You would have to read the Book of Mormon. I remember when I was in Nevada, I had a lot of discussion with Mormons. And I said, could I become a Mormon by reading the Bible? I said, yeah, no, I couldn't. No, I couldn't. There's no way that can happen. For me to become a Mormon, I would have to read the Book of Mormon. You see, every seed produces its own result. Is the scripture in his teaching? If you teach something other than the Bible, you cannot get a Christian. And by the way, there is no such thing as a Mennonite Christian, a Lutheran Christian, a Mennonite Methodist Christian, or a Nazarene Christian. There is no such thing. But the Word will tell you there is. How would you become a Roman Catholic? You'd have to go through catechism. That's how you do. You'd have to go through training to become a catechism in order to become a Roman Catholic. What about the Muslim faith? How do you become a Muslim? Could you become a Muslim by reading the Bible? No, you couldn't do that. You'd have to read the Quran. You see, why is that so? God set a principle when he made creation. And in Genesis chapter 1, it said over and over and over again. It says everything produced after its own kind. You know what that is? That's a law of procreation. Elephants had baby elephants. Giraffes had little giraffes. And whales had little whales, and they're still big. And men and women had human beings. That's a law of procreation. It works in the scripture realm too. Every seed produces after its own kind. If you plant a religion of men, you can only get that religion. Now if that's not so, prove it. Could I become any of those things other than the last by just reading the Bible? Would the Bible teach me how to become a Mennonite? No. Would it teach me how to become a Methodist? No. Would it teach me how to become a Nazarene? No. But would it teach me how to become a Christian? Yes. Can any of those other books make that claim? Matter of fact, I'll go even one step further. Can any book written by men make that claim? No. No. And you know why I'm a Christian? Because I obey the teaching of God's Word. It can make me a Christian. Brother, I forget the brother's name, it escapes my mind. He wrote a good book. I have it in my library. He goes, the Bible makes Christians and Christians only. And that's exactly right. The only thing you can get from obeying the teachings of the Bible is a Christian. You can't do any other thing. No matter how much you want it, no matter what you believe, you can only get a Christian by teachings of the Bible. So you know what one of the identifying marks is? What did you believe to become what you are? If you believed anything other than the Bible, you are not a Christian. You might be a good person. You might be a religious person. You might be a believer in God. But you're not a Christian because you use something other than the Bible in order to do it. Please take your psalm books out and turn the psalm and Brother Leisure has chosen music correction. Brethren, these lessons that I've been doing in this series is to help us in our discussion with people that we differ with. We need to take God's book and we need to explain to them we don't just differ because we like to differ with people. We don't differ because we like to argue with people. We differ because we believe the Bible teaches that it makes a difference what you believe, what you do, and what you practice, and what you tell other people to do. And you know what? They need to be shown in God's Word why we are different. Now, let me ask you something in closing tonight. Can a Mennonite, could a Methodist, could a Nazarene, can a Mormon stand before you tonight and say they read the Bible and that's why they're what they are? None of them can do that. But I can stand before you tonight and tell you that I'm a Christian because I believe what the Bible taught in how to become a Christian. I can make that argument, I can prove that argument, and I can show it by the Bible. Could any of these other religions do that? No, they can't. That's why I don't belong to them. That's why I don't encourage other men to belong to them. Because they were not started by God, they were started by men. Again, one other thing I would add, we are not to be haughty, we are not to be arrogant, we're not to be self-righteous, we're not to act like we're better than everybody else, but we need to quit being ashamed of who we are and what we believe. We need to quit worrying about hurting somebody's feelings and be more concerned about trying to save their soul. Too long we've bought into this religious thing that, you know, they're good people. There's good people in every religion. Unfortunately, that began to creep into the church. where people believe that there's good in all religions and there's going to be some of every religion said. If that's true, then we really don't need the Bible. And it really doesn't matter, and we ought to leave other religious people alone if it doesn't really matter. But I believe it does matter. And that's why God left this pattern, so we would know. So if you're here and you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, or maybe anybody here tonight is a Christian, if you have some needs, you need the prayers of the church, we can help you in any way. We bid you come forward, as together we stand and as we sing.